And a happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope it's a fun start today. It is cold, but that's okay. It's late November. It's supposed to be, so that's all good. According to my car's thermometer, though, it's minus 22.
Oh, well, I mean, if you would come to the station once in a while and stop living in Nome, Alaska, it'd be a little bit better, but doing that. By the way, Joe Rexroth and I share headphones when I come in. He's got the smallest head. He has the head from the movie Beetlejuice with the when he's sitting there in the waiting
room.
He's
also deaf.
he's got the smallest. Joe, you've got the smallest, cutest head I've ever seen. And so when I put the headphones on, I have to just, you know, kind of rip them all the way down that go over my big, giant head. So it's like the perfect rom-com.
Yeah.
Joe and Joe
is it's quite the show.
So beat it, Robbie. Get out of here. You can do the show with Chase. It's Joe and Joe, man.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
We had something here.
I got something with the rom-com there.
Okay. All right.
Well, what's up, man? Good to see you last night at the bowling alley for George Plaster. Hold on a second. I'm going to bowl a turkey here.
Yeah. George's Celebrity Bowling Tournament. Good seeing you there. And Willie was there.
Packed.
It was packed. Coach Kevin Stallings was there. Has no interest in coming back to coaching. I asked him.
But when I look at him, I'm looking at the buyout he got from Pittsburgh. I'm like, oh, yeah. he can go to
I'm gonna say this.
Fort Myers and buy the biggest house. Good for him.
I was debating if I was going to, you know, just come off the top rope to start. But, you know, with looking at things, and I like Jerry Stackhouse. I do. But, you know, everybody that used to hate on Kevin Stallings, just saying.
Yeah, right.
One bad.
How's Stackhouse doing over there?
One
right
bad.
Now? Things
now,
are good.
Now, there's a lot that's different in college sports that
true.
Both Clark Lee and he's really having to deal with it right now, and Jerry Stackhouse, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but good to see Coach Stallings last night.
You're right. It was a good time. And, of course, yesterday after we left the show, the news that Rick Stockstill was let go at MTSU, and it wasn't unexpected, you know, and we're going to say our feelings here about
sure.
Coach Stockstill. I mean, I love the man. He's been nothing but great, gracious, genuine, great to me. And my son, we've been around him. He's been fantastic. I will miss him. And I understand it's time. I understand things happen. There's changes. Does not hide the fact that I love that man and
yeah.
what he did for the university and what he did for players. And it's telling – somebody tweeted this yesterday. It's telling – how much you're beloved and how many players come back. And there, Chase, there's so many players come back during the season, all season, come back to see him. That shows you the impact that he had on these young men.
He is he's a good coach. He's a better man.
Yep.
I will never forget. Now, what's funny is, you know, he was there 18 years. He and I came in at the same time. So that means 18 years ago I started college. But
I mean, way to make it about yourself,
yeah,
right, Dr.
Sorry.
Kern?
You know, no he comment. Was always, whatever. He was always really good to me.
Yeah.
And there was one moment in particular when I was still in school and, you know, obviously was wanting to get into this business. And it was a project for a class that I, you know, interviewed him. And my condo got broken into and my camera got stolen, had the tape in it and everything.
Oh,
I'd
that's
done
right,
the interview.
Yeah.
And so I called Mark Owens and said,
what
you know, hey, this is what happened. And he was like, you know, yeah, we'll see what we can do. Coaches getting ready for the game, but I'll let him know. Well, I get a call an hour later from Rick Stockstill personally, and he said, come by my office, we'll do it again.
Nice.
You know,
he didn't have to do that.
No.
How many coaches do
and
that?
This was like a Friday afternoon.
Right.
Like, and you know how Friday afternoons are for a coach when they play the next day.
Yeah. How many coaches are going to do that? Probably very, very, very little.
And he was always just, you know, very, very great and gracious with his time and – you know, obviously having him on the station and stuff was fantastic. So, you know, look, like you said, I think timing is everything, and you know, it probably was.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to look at it now. It's a new beginning for the program, and it's a new beginning for him.
Whatever
he wants to do,
yeah.
Whether that's stay in the area and be done with coaching, or you know, look into coaching again.
All right. Well, here's what I do now. We've talked about this last night. If I'm MTSU, this is me. I was wondering if you're gonna say it.
I should.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, Stockstill's gone now, and again, we love him. But if I'm MTSU, I make one phone call right now. I call Eddie George. I told you last night. I call Eddie George. Yeah. I call Eddie George, and I say, do you want to come down here and get lead this program? I would. Eddie has done a heck of a job at TSU with what he has over there. He's got some great assistant coaches. He can raise money. He knows people and come in there. I mean, a head coach now in football is more than a head coach. I mean, you are PR, you are fundraising, you are everything else that goes along with it. And I think Eddie George will be a fantastic hire for Middle Tennessee State. I know there's other people mentioned, but you go to a room, Chase, right? There's a room, 100 people. Manny Diaz walks in.
Yeah.
You moving the needle?
No.
Buster Faulkner?
Nope.
Willie Simmons?
Nope.
Nah, nobody. Eddie George?
Yep.
Every single person in that room turns around and sees him. You go to a house, Mom, Eddie George is here. Kids want to play for him. Kids right. want to see him. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Sure. And look, there are some good football coaches out there. And I think Eddie is becoming a good football coach. I mean, he's surrounded himself with the right people. But when you're a program like MTSU in today's landscape of college football, you need to have the sales aspect too.
Absolutely you do.
And so it's got to be more than just a good football coach. Like, you know, Darren was there last night, and he threw out Dana Holgorsen. I don't think that's a horrible idea. If he wants to go that route.
Not
but
in a million
I
years.
Don't think that would happen.
Nope.
You know, like, but I don't think that's a bad idea. But they could, because Western Kentucky has done the, you know, I call it the reclamation project route. You know, Bobby Petrino was there for a year, but they've also done the up and comer.
Yep.
You know, that they've realized what they are. And they capitalize on that, and it's led to success with the program. So Middle could go that route, but I think Eddie, I'm with you. I think Eddie knows the area, still beloved in this area, and with what Middle's trying to do, building, you know, new facilities and
right.
trying to elevate their whole footprint. I think Eddie could be
and the PR hit would be fantastic. The PR hit would be wonderful. You're not going to get that publicity by hiring Dana Holgorsen. That's Darren, come on, you're better than that. But nobody else,
well, I don't
to me,
like, I mean, I don't think it's a bad
I think it's a
idea.
Terrible hire. I mean, terrible. I think if you look at Dana Holgorsen, does nothing for that program. I'm telling you, man, you've got to look beyond the football field for this, and you got to go beyond this, and you got to go with somebody who's going to turn heads and get people on board. And I think Eddie George would do that. And I,
sure.
Look, and I have nothing, the basis at zero. Nobody's told me anything. I know nothing at all. I'm just telling you, from the standpoint of outside looking in, I hire him. I go, at least make him tell me no.
Do you believe that he could possibly help out with the, you know, audience attendance for the games?
100%.
Because like, if you look at it, we had Mike Organ on the show a few weeks back talking about how none of the fans for TSU wanted to stay for homecoming night. They went for all the festivities, and they left for the game.
Well,
do you think that could be an issue with MTSU potentially?
Well, I don't think it's going to put 30,000 people in Floyd Stadium, but I think it would put some energy in there with the fan base to get people going. I think the first year it would help, and they've got a whole new facility they got to pay for. And I think him having him there, and every time, Eddie George, the national people would see Eddie George. You know, he'd be on, you know, all the big shows. It's just, to me, it's easy.
To Nick's point, here's the problem, because I went there. Here's the problem that is nobody's fault necessarily. It's definitely not athletics' fault, and it's something that, unfortunately, you're probably just not going to be able to fix. MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University, has the largest student population in the state of Tennessee. But probably 3,000 live on campus or around campus. It's a suitcase school. I mean, that's just what it is. It you're close to Nashville. Like, I came home on weekends quite a bit, or I'd go to Knoxville because a lot of my friends were in Knoxville, you know, whatever. That's just the unfortunate part of where it is. It's geographically in the center of Tennessee. It is literally in the geographical center of the state of Tennessee. And so a lot of kids just don't stay on the weekends, and they go home or they go elsewhere. And I don't really know how you solve that problem. You know, like,
it's been a problem for such a long time.
I mean, that's how it's always kind of been.
But I will tell you this, in covering, you know, traveling with the team, you know, go to Liberty on a Tuesday night, half stadium full. Go to Western Kentucky on a Thursday night, nothing else going on. Stadium's a quarter full. I mean, the Group of Five schools are having a battle now to get people to go, and I think that's kind of understood. So if you can get a little bump of attendance and some donations and people following your program, I think that's worth more than gold right now to these schools.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wish Rick Stockstill the best. you know, and I'll say this, whenever, if ever he wants to talk, he knows he has a spot with us here on this show. And so, you know, I, but his family, they're awesome. And so wish him nothing but the best in what's next. But,
amen.
We'll see what's next for MTSU. Big show today. Hal Gill going to join us at the bottom of the hour for a weekly conversation with him. We'll talk some Predators. Coach Philip Fulmer going to join us alongside Chuck McDowell to talk about the Jason Foundation.
Amen.
I'm sure we'll get into a little football with Coach as well. And then Zach Piller will be in studio at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour, as he usually is on Tuesday. Greg Bedard, that had the article on Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, was on with Jared Stillman yesterday and Stillman and Company. We'll give our thoughts to some of the things he had to say, because I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't all that impressed. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Predators in action tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pete Weber's 2,000th game as a Nashville Predator. How about that?
That's amazing.
You can hit us up on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group. So we talked about it yesterday. Greg Bedard, who you know, wrote the article about the Patriots and Vrabel, and that stuff just won't go away. And there were other things in there that he kind of referenced, that the Rand Carthon-Mike Vrabel relationship is rocky, and that there's been questions of Carthon's job performance back to when he was in San Francisco. So Jared, obviously, you know, is going to ask about those things, and had him on the show yesterday. This was when Jared brought up on if it was well known that the relationship with Vrabel and Carthon had gone stale.
How well known is it? Is it one person? I'm not going to ask you for your sources or anything like that, but is it one person that you heard about the Vrabel-Carthon thing, or is it almost pretty well known up there after his trip to Foxborough that, yeah, this relationship with the coach and the GM isn't going very well?
Well, I don't know if it was as, you know, it came as a result of any conversations that happened in Foxborough when he was here. I don't know that. You know, I will say that, you know, I probably – you know, one of my questions about Vrabel is, you know, well, and the biggest thing when you're talking about, and I've been covering the league for 20 years, you know, the biggest thing is, what's the relationship like between the GM and the head coach, especially when they don't have a background together, or at least, you know, outwardly they don't. And I was told they had, you know, no background. Those kind of shotgun marriages in my experience covering the league, just do not work. They hardly ever work. Like, you really need to either pick a strong head coach who hand selects his GM, or you need a strong GM who is in charge of hiring the coach. And, you know, I probably heard from, you know, three or four different people when I asked about Vrabel about, like, well, you know, what's the relationship like with Vrabel and Ran, and they, you know, universally said, like, there isn't, you know, much of a relationship. There wasn't much of a background. You know, I'm sure the stress of the season hasn't helped. Now, I don't know if it's a bad relationship at this point, you know, but, you know, those kind of shotgun marriages and where things are going with this team, you know, sort of gets people to the head coach and the general manager sort of start to retreat to their own camps, and you know, that's when they start thinking about other possibilities.
So that was Greg Bedard yesterday, and like, I listened to the whole interview, and good on Jared for getting him on. And I do feel like that there was some backpedaling on some things that was in the article.
You think?
Teron had a great tweet. I got to pull Teron's tweet up, but he had a great tweet yesterday that was fantastic. But I don't know. I just, like, if you're gonna write something, like, you got to support it. Like, if you're gonna do an interview about something that you've written, like, you know, you gotta stand by it. And it just felt like, well, no, what I meant was, that's just kind of how it came.
I mean, the first 10 seconds were
right. And that every time I hear that, I'm like, uh-oh,
because your brain's searching for something to say, and that's exactly what it is.
Right. And so, I mean, do I think that there's some smoke with some of the stuff that was in that article? Absolutely, I do. I mean, you don't just make that up. Carissa Thompson does, but you know, not, zing not ding. Him. Sorry, had to. But I just feel like that it's, you know, you gotta stand by what you're gonna write, and I'm just curious to see where this goes, because like we talked about yesterday, you can't tell me it's not a distraction. Now they won, and that helps, and they needed that. They beat a bad team. They're right. A bad team. They got a chance this weekend, being at home again against Indianapolis, and getting a division win. I mean, that'll give your team a ton of confidence. But like, when I watch Mike Vrabel and I listen to Mike Vrabel, and like I listened to his press conference yesterday, he sounds miserable. And I, you know, that's a guy that hates losing. I mean, we've talked about that and how you want guys that hate losing. He's one of those.
Right.
But I want to know, like, behind closed doors, how much of a distraction this has all become.
Okay, so I read the article. I didn't listen to the interview. I was busy, but I listened to it right then. And I just saw the reaction to it from yesterday on Twitter with all that. And it's just, I mean, where's the accountability? I mean, does he just account to it to himself? I mean, is this one of those, like, mindless pieces where you just throw it out there and hope something sticks? I don't.
Here was Teron's tweet yesterday. Okay. I haven't seen a backpedal like that since Deion was locking wide receivers down consistently. Heck, Seve and Glover couldn't dance around something better than that.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nice references on that, Teron. I get it. Yeah, I just look, you know, we know there's some sort of rumbling going on over there from everything that we've heard and talked about, but I don't it's just I just throwing stuff out there. I don't know. It's just, you know, and if the Patriots still pressing this narrative, let them do it. And then if I'm the Titans, all right, you want to go, Mike, go. But here's what we want in, back from you. And I told you, Kraft, egotistical little man's going to want his way. And so you just go and take all you can from him. That's it.
Right.
I've always said, if you don't want to be here, I'm not going to keep you here. Right. If you don't want to be here, why should I try to keep it? Go. That's always like the non-competes in TV. Like, you don't want to be here and go someplace, then go. If you're not going to give me your all, then go. I don't want it.
Like, here's my thing. Like, if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. Like, I want people that want to be here.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's my thing. Like, if you're miserable and like, I'm sorry, I wish I could fix that, and if I can't, you know, then you got to go. You know, you got to do what's best for you. I've told people that. Like, hey, I will always root for you and want you to do what's best for you, and if this isn't best for you, then I understand. Because I need people that are all in. That's, you know, that's where I'm at with stuff. And so that's why, you know, I brought up yesterday at the end of the season, one-on-one, Amy Adams Strunk needs to look Mike Vrabel in the eye and go, do you want to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah.
And he needs to answer that honestly. If the answer is yes.
Do you think he'll answer no right now? Then you're like, okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
If I'm Amy Adams, like, look, try to win as many games you can. Let's table all this. We'll talk at the end of the year. All right? Your focus is on winning football games. I'm going to stay away from you. Let's see what we can do. You do that in January after that, the Monday after, whenever our season ends, let's talk.
Right.
Until then, just say no comment. I'm worried about winning football games.
Yeah, just then, focus on the football team.
And then put it on, and then on that Monday, you come and you say, hey, we're going to do this, going to do that, and then you make your decision. It's going to have to come fast. Now that the season ends so far now into January instead of late December, another week or two that's pushed back, you know, time is of the essence. Like college football with the portal happening. I mean, you got to get college coaches in there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you do. And I, you know, I think he's going to have to make coaching changes on his staff. You know, I'd look at both sides of the ball. I think Tim Kelly's fine. I think that some of the vitriol towards Tim Kelly is probably not warranted. I mean, there's no offensive line.
Right.
Now, I agree that, like, if Mike Munchak wanted to come back and run the offensive line, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I mean, there's no question. And that might be the only time that I'd be okay with Amy Adams Strunk meddling and saying, like, no, you have to do this. Like,
I don't – tell me why Mike comes back.
Well, I mean, from his standpoint, I probably wouldn't want to fool with it.
But, right, yeah.
But I mean, from my standpoint, as somebody wanting somebody that knows what they're doing, like, yeah. I'd love to have him back.
Well, I mean, so if I'm Vrabel, I mean, you know, like, our focus is the Colts. That we have to win at home on Sunday.
And that's pretty much been what he has said.
Yeah. And I don't disagree 100% with that. You go out and win on Sunday, now you're 5-7. And who knows what could happen. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen.
Can you explain, though,
I like, cannot.
Why? Can you explain the meaning of life?
Give me 4 hours.
Can you explain why they have played as well as they have in Nissan Stadium? Because, and here's why. And I'm just going to say it. I'm not even going to preface this. I'm just going to say it. Let's just be honest. The energy there is not what it used to be. And especially on Sunday.
Right.
Like I told you, five people offered me tickets and I said, I'm good. Like, I'm not the only one in the city of Nashville that probably had that response.
What's the old joke? Somebody broke in your car and left you four Carolina Panthers tickets.
Right.
All right, here's why they've won. All right. Who'd they beat first game?
Chargers.
Chargers.
Awful. No.
Yeah. Chargers
first game.
Yeah. Okay. Terrible team.
Yep.
Bengals with a Burrow who was at 4%.
Yep.
Bad. Falcons.
Bad team.
Bad team. Panthers.
Bad team.
Is there one more out there? No, that's it. It's four.
That's it. Yeah.
So, but that's the deal. You beat the bad teams at home, and they've done that. They just haven't done well. Have they lost seven road games?
Well, the Ravens game technically is a home game.
That we ain't counting that.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, we ain't counting that one. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, but they haven't won on the road in over a year.
Okay.
The last time they won on the road was Green Bay.
Wow, Thursday
night game?
Game.
Yeah, the plane game.
Wow. Is that the Downing coming back? Okay. I'm trying to get your inside jokes, man.
It's not an inside joke. It's just
playing game. I'm trying to get all that. No, but that they've beaten really bad football teams at home, and so now you got the Colts come in, who pretty decent football team. They're playing well, and then you know one game at a time. Then you go to Miami, and then it gets after this one gets really tough down the stretch. But it's the NFL. It's not you know nothing's guaranteed week in and week out. Just go out and play the best you can and try to win games. But this Greg Bedard thing, I guess we can put it to rest. I mean, they're a little smoke, a little fire. You know, I mean.
Your Matthew McConaughey is coming out right now.
What is it right
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, man. You got to play as best you can. go Longhorns.
Hook them.
And all that. And you got to go back. Do what you can do. But, no, they – remember going with this. Oh, this Bedard thing. But, look, you know, throughout history, GMs and head coaches have had a tumultuous relationship. I mean, it's been hot and cold throughout. So there's no sense that Rand and Vrabel aren't that. It's just weird seeing – Rand Carthon's body language on the sideline, you know, it's just, I don't know. Robinson paraded around like he was the king of England, remember, in his suits and all that other stuff. And Rand's, and maybe it's Rand, it's nothing wrong. That's your personality. You're off to the side and you know what you do and you know what you're, as the GM, you kind of got your own path you're clearing. I get all that. So, I don't know. Is it much about nothing? Or is there a whole lot there? We'll find out sooner or later.
We will find out for sure. One team that's playing very well is the Nashville Predators. They're back in action tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And there was some interesting news around the NHL yesterday involving a former Predators head coach. Hal Gill, Predators analyst, going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on that, plus much more. And don't miss tomorrow night, Smashville Live, Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. You can see Predators star players up close and personal, get autographs and pictures. And this week's special guests will be defenseman Tyson Barrie and Ryan O'Reilly. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. It's time now to talk to Hal Gill. He's brought to you by Dunkin'. And Robbie and Rex Road going to be at a new Dunkin' this week. It will be in Franklin at 1441 New Highway 96 West. So come by 6 to 9, stop by, and have a chance to win lots of great prizes. But we always got to get our dunks with Hal. Skillsy, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Got my dunks on the way into the rink, getting ready for the Penguins tonight.
Going to be a good one, but I want to start with the news that came out yesterday. John Hines named the new head coach of the Minnesota Wild, and ironically, they'll be in Smashville on Thursday, so it'll be Hines' homecoming first game in Nashville since he left the Predators. But what did you think of that move?
Yeah, Minnesota, you know, I was looking at the schedule ahead, and I blipped over Minnesota. I'm like, whoa, they're supposed to be good, and I was expecting them to be good, and they're just not, so... if you're not getting the results, you know, we're talking about the 20-game mark here with the Preds and where do they stand and what do they look like? Well, Minnesota didn't look good. And defensively, they haven't been good. So time for a change and a good opportunity for John Hines. I know, you know, as soon as I think he was right up there with Laviolette for that Rangers job. It was looking like he was doing something with San Jose. Maybe.
Uh-oh. I think we lost. There he is.
Sorry, we all knew he was going to get back in the ring. Just a matter of time. And so it looks like Bill Guerin has his guy, and we'll see how this goes. And it's exciting that we're going to get a good look at him nice and early.
We got a little bit of a bad connection there, Hal. We'll see if it.
Are you going over a bunch of speed bumps?
You're better.
Am I better now?
You are.
I'm really sorry. You know, sometimes, Chase, when you have relationships, you just get disconnected for a little bit, but you got to come back and you got to work at it and find a way to come back together. And I feel like we've done that. I feel like we're better for it.
We are better for it. That is for sure. Hal Gill is with us. Predators in action tonight. Now, you know, we've talked about Philip Forsberg and how he's pretty much that catalyst for this team. He's on fire right now, 25 points, 11 goals. Ryan O'Reilly's right there with him. What have you seen out of that line? And I love the Gus Nyquist on that line too. It just seems like that chemistry is really there.
Yeah, you think? Oh, boy, they're buzzing. Yeah, you know what? It was interesting to me because I felt like, you know, there was tandems that Brunette was looking at, and he was trying to make things work. And, you know, and O'Reilly and Forsberg were that tandem he wanted to have together, but he didn't know who to put with that line. Was it Parsonen? He tried some different things, different looks, and then Nyquist came up, and I said, okay, that kind of works. And then all of a sudden they just started buzzing, and they look good. And a lot of fun to watch those guys. The way Nyquist kind of digs in the corners and gets his feet moving and starts the offensive zone going, I feel like it really plays into the hand of O'Reilly, who's typically in and around the net, and Forsberg, who's kind of slashing in and out of the slot and looking for shooting spots. And so you put those three together, and I've had a lot of fun watching them.
You know, Hal, we talked to you last week about, you know, the frustrations with this young hockey team and everybody coming together and meshing and the camaraderie. The last four or five games, I mean, they've come together like a completely different team. Now, what is impressing you about this hockey team now?
Well, I hate to break it down to one thing, but everything, you know, I can give you all the reasons why, but like one of them has to be Ryan McDonagh being back in the lineup. But like he came back, and I think that steadies things down. It puts everyone in their place on the defensive end. But the way that they played, and it kind of coincides with him coming back, they're attacking in the offensive zone. They're attacking the front of the net. They're getting a lot more net front presence. That's why Philip Forsberg has so many goals recently, is because he's all over the net. I mean, he's hounding the puck. And how many goals have we seen? Are tips, deflections, rebounds, knocking it out of the air, presence around the net. And then defensively, I feel like they're doing such a better job. Everyone was questioning, are the goalies the way they should be playing? Are they playing up to snuff? And you look at Lankinen and Josi, who you think, okay, maybe they struggled early on. Well, I don't think they struggled. I think defensively they just weren't strong in front of the net, and they weren't clearing pucks, and they weren't letting our goalies see the puck. And so they've done a lot better job at that, and I know it's been a point of emphasis with the team, is net front battles are huge, and I think they're winning those and turn winning games.
You know, I'm weird when I watch a sporting event. You know, you like for hockey, you watch the goal score. I always like to watch the reaction, Hal, from the team on the bench and everybody.
Yeah.
And like they're genuinely excited for each other. And I know it's a small thing, Hal, but to me that's a big thing when guys celebrate other guys' success on and off the ice. And I'm seeing that now from this hockey team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's nothing better. I mean, obviously scoring a goal is great, but there's nothing better than when your friends and your peers and your teammates are happy for you and show it. You know, it's that makes you feel better than the goal itself. And so I think, like, you look at Jakob Trenin, who had a rough start. He just, like, I thought he was playing some great hockey. He wasn't scoring goals. He scored a goal finally, and the place went nuts. Like, the bench went insane. They were fired up for him. They're happy for him. They know what he brings to the team, and now he gets rewarded And I feel like that it feeds itself, you know, like it just keeps feeding the beast. When you're excited about your teammates scoring, you're excited about getting the job done, it feeds, and then eventually that leads to wins. And I think that's the kind of mentality that they're looking for. I think you look at the leadership and you say, hey, is the leadership driving this, and are they driving us the right way? And I think we're seeing that at the 20-game mark. We're seeing that. We're seeing those guys that are driving the game and the way they want to play and their identity and the toughness that they have to sticking up for each other. You know, like if Roman Josi gets bumped into, you got a bunch of people that are staring him down. Jeremy Lauzon is there to fight if he needs to. McCarron has done it. They're all into it. They're all playing a feisty, hard game, and they're playing together, which is a lot of fun to play like that.
Hal Gill is with us. And with UC Saros, you know, we've talked about this basically since he got into the league, that, you know, sometimes he gets off to a bit of a slow start. If you just strictly look at the numbers right now, they don't blow you away. But do you feel like he's starting to come into form?
Yeah, I thought he was awesome. Early on, you know, you had games against Tampa and Boston that you lose those games. They're good teams. And the power play, both power plays were good, and they scored a bunch. And you go, okay, Juice looked awesome, but they're losing games. And then, you know, it got away from them. They started losing games. They were getting out battled by lesser teams, in my opinion, losing tough games. And I think you go, okay, Juice, and large part due to the net front, but you say Juice needs to bail you out. Well, last game, Juice was fantastic. He was a beast in that first part of that Jets game. The first 10 minutes, they were under siege, and he got them through that. And then once they got through that, you know, Roman Josi was everywhere, and the team started to play the way they can, and they finished that game off. But that was made possible because Juice was awesome. I do think Lanx looks really good as well. He's played some great hockey in St. Louis. He's fantastic.
You know, Hal, looking at Pittsburgh tonight and the Preds, same point, same – I mean, it's weird how eerily similar these two teams are, at least standing record-wise.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it. I don't know. Pittsburgh is a tough team. You have that big three with, of course, Crosby, Malkin, Letang. Like, those guys have been there forever. Like, I was playing with those guys. And then you go, okay, when is the bubble going to burst? And when do they have to move one of those guys? Or when is this ride over for the Penguins? When are they not going to be in the mix? And then they went out and signed Erik Karlsson. And you go, oh, whoa, okay. They're going back at it, and they're going to be good. And they had a rough start, but I think, what are they, 8-2 in their last 10 games. So things have turned around. They're a tough team. They're always tough. It amazes me that Crosby just keeps going. You know, he's not necessarily the highlight reel kid anymore. He's just so smart in and around the net. He's got great hands. He sees the ice. He plays the advantages to a T. He's just such a good player. So anytime you have him on your team, you're going to have a chance. But right now, I think they're putting it together. So a team that's going to be tough to play against, and another good test for the Preds tonight.
And tonight is also going to be a big night for somebody we all know and love. Pete Weber, game number 2000 with the Nashville Predators. How cool is that?
That is pretty awesome. You know, you look around and you go, whoa, that's a lot of hockey. That's a lot of morning skates. That's a lot of buses to the rink. That's a lot of flights. That's a lot of calling hockey and talking about it. And the best part about Pete is, you know, he's been doing it for 2000. If you ask him about game 143, he'll tell you exactly what happened. And that was the game that, you know, so-and-so got stuck in the elevator and at the old Joe Louis. You know, he'll give you the whole story about every one of those games. A great man, a great person, a great mentor to me, and so it'll be nice to honor him for 2000. That is impressive.
It will be fun tonight against Pittsburgh, and welcoming John Hines back on Thursday against Minnesota. Skillsy, appreciate it. It's a big week, and Peter Laviolette on Saturday against the Rangers. So, Skillsy, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, I'm glad we worked through our issues with our tension. I feel better than I ever have with you, Chase. Love you guys.
Hey, I feel better too. Love you too, Hal. Have a good one. Hal Gill joining us, presented by Dunkin', every Tuesday at 9:30. And right now we have your opportunity to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Predators take on Peter Laviolette and the New York Rangers at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. It's a can't-miss event and the perfect time to celebrate with your friends, family, and your Smashville family in gold. Join in on the fun and help celebrate the 25th anniversary season and 25 years of Smashville. In honor of, I'm going to make Nick work for this. He's not going to like me, but I'm going to do it. In honor of the goal-scoring leader, caller number 9 at 615-737-1025.
I thought you were going to say caller 2000 in honor of Pete Weber.
I should have done that.
You still get the phones for like two shows.
That's right. Chase, what's up next, man?
Coming up next, I'm done. What are you done with? 615-737-1025. We got some good ones. You can weigh in on the text line and call in as well. 615-737-1025. That's next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 the game. It's time for I'm Done. What are you done with? 615-737-1025. You just got to bring the passion, as Terry Crisp would say. And I tell you what, we'll do this. And Nick, I'll explain how we'll do this. The best one will win another four-pack of tickets.
Whoa!
To see the Predators and Rangers this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. But you got to bring the passion. What are you done with? 615-737-1025. You can call or text.
Somebody's in a good mood today.
I am. I'm in a very good mood.
I like Santa Claus.
Am I Santa Claus?
Yeah, you are. Today you are, yeah.
Okay.
It's better than being called Oprah Winfrey. You get a car. You get a car.
I mean, Oprah's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Santa's cool, too. He's got the beard and all.
I'd like to be in the same bank account as Oprah.
Wouldn't we all?
But, yeah, so get those texts in. Wes in Clarksville says, I'm done with these sports teams paying these coaches and GMs millions of dollars for years after they get fired. Well, that's part of it.
Let me tell you what, it's only going to get worse. I'm telling you right now, these payouts are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as they go along. Wait till the Super Conference happens, and then you'll be like, what in the world is going on there? All right, can I give you my I'm done?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so yesterday, you know, the news came out that Rick Stockstill was let go, and I tweeted out just what a good man he's been, so nice to me, genuine, you know, great and everything like that. And I get back the old tweet, nobody cares, right? So I used to be that guy. I used to be the nobody cares guy. I used to be, nobody cares.
Yep.
And then I saw, you know what? How rude of that of me. That
You had a gif. You had the SpongeBob gif.
Yeah, yeah. And so it became like, you know, it's important. So if you come in one day extolling about how great soccer is, 5 years ago, I'd be like, hey, Chase, nobody cares. I don't care. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. I'm glad you're enjoying that. So I'm kind of done with this nobody cares because, see, people care, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just done with the people who come out, nobody cares about that, you know, and this isn't about Nashville traffic. Nobody cares. You should know that. Nobody cares. And so I'm done with the nobody cares, right? If you're happy and you want a little vent or whatever, I mean, that's fine. But to come back and say nobody cares, that just shows your inadequacy as a person, I think.
Yeah.
No, and I will fight you.
I like that. Well, you should. I like
but
that
because
I think and it's Twitter, it's social media because you can hide behind a keyboard and you know all that stuff. Like half the stuff that I read on social media, I'm like, would you actually say that to somebody's face?
No, you wouldn't do that.
No,
not at all.
No, you would.
So I'm done. I've been done for a while with, hey man, nobody cares. You know, and because you enjoy it, why should I steal your thunder, your excitement, your enjoyment? I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. But if I let you do that, whose fault's that? My fault. Okay. So I'm done with that.
Along the lines of social media, I am done with one thing in particular, and I see it way too much. And that is people that before they give you their opinion, they have to tell you that they're going to give you their unsolicited, yes, true opinion and that it's informed and all this stuff. And I'm like, just say it. Like, I don't need you to set it up that – this is my, you know, like there are two in this, there's one person in particular that did this yesterday that I love very much.
Okay.
But, and I'm not going to say their name, but I, it's just like, just say it. Like, you don't need to keep telling everybody that you have a strong opinion. Like, we get it.
Right.
You have a strong opinion.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not talking about Jared. Like, we understand that you like to put your opinion out there. Just do it.
Yeah. Right.
Just do it and own it. That's what I – like, I don't need you to tell me that it's unbiased and it's educated and it's informed and all that. Just say what you want to say and then understand that people are going to agree with you and they're not going to agree with you. And the sidebar in all this, when you do want to be one of those people that has a strong opinion, and this is hard sometimes, don't get pissed off when somebody doesn't agree with you because they don't agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
Like, just understand that they're allowed to have an opinion too.
Correct.
And it might be opposite of yours.
I like that. And let me get a little bit further on this, okay? All right, Rosalind Carter passed away, okay?
Yep.
Jimmy Carter. And, you know, he's been in hospice for a while. And I get so tired of seeing this. Well, he was a terrible president, but thoughts and prayers with his family. All right, I don't need to know your opinion.
Right, like why do you got to throw that in?
Right, I don't need to know any of that stuff. How you feel? What's going on? I really don't need to know. But it has like, he was a terrible president, but he's a good man. All right, I don't need to see.
What
that.
Is it with him? He's the best former president we've ever had. Like I people guess. Say that.
Yeah, and then 38%. Oh, wow, you know what? Yeah, anyway, right. Hey, you know what? Guy lost his wife. I mean, they were married for 77 years. You know, I mean, he's by all accounts, he's a great man. But just like, terrible president, didn't do anything, and blah, 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 but I'm praying for
always
him.
Always got to bring politics.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just say, you know what? I'm praying for his family, and that's fine. I don't need to know that you disagree with him. I don't need to know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I don't either.
I don't care.
But,
again,
but see, that's a long – that's.
Oh, man, full circle.
Yeah. Well, on that stuff, like, I think there's stuff that you're allowed to say, like, you know what, I don't care. Like, yesterday, like, I forgot what it was you were reading that I was like, I really don't care about any of that.
It
like,
was Jeff Fisher in the East Tennessee State job. Yeah, and you were very blank, like, I don't care.
I don't. Like, I mean, it, you know, like, I love Jeff Fisher, but
right.
You're like.
I just thought the local connection was just odd. He's going for the job. You're like, yeah, I don't care about any of that. Yeah, like, and it's like, Daddy, I threw a no-hitter. And like, I don't care. I'm watching MASH. Get away from me right now.
Give me another beer.
Beat it. Daddy's tired.
615-737-1025. But yeah, I 100% am with you on all of this. And it's just like I think it goes along the lines of like, if you want to give an opinion, that's fine if it's relevant. But a lot of those same people are the ones that, oh, I'm going to give you an opinion on something that like is totally irrelevant to this conversation, but just because I want to.
Yeah, right.
It's like, hey, I walked outside and I waved at somebody on the street, and it's like, yeah, but why are they on the street? or something like that. Like they're trespassing.
1936 on Twitter on our. Text line says, I'm so done with my wife canceling her plans with her friends on Saturdays. I can't sweat these bets I place with her around with me glued to the TV. Is that you, Ricky? 1936, we get all that. 3699, I'm done with Mike Vrabel and his whiny press conferences, attitude, his question dodging. Quit pouting. Sim New England, Ohio State. I'm done. Get him off his pedestal. From 3699.
Okay, that's a good one. Dustin in Hopkinsville, I'm done with waiting in long lines at stores for the person in front of me. Starts playing Russian roulette with credit cards. No, ma'am, this one didn't work. Not the other one either. 8 minutes after everything's scanned, they finally figure it out.
Hey, go down and reach Josh from Donaldson. It's pretty funny. You can read it.
Okay. I'm done with my coworker. He just won the Preds 4-pack. He's won 5 times this year while we've been riding. I just called 3 times to a dial tone. I'm done. Josh P. out.
Yeah. Let's see here. 2885.
Sorry, Josh.
I'm done with boomers, and I am one whining about the change and complications that come with Nashville. No, it's not the same place it was 20 years ago. If you don't like skedaddle, there are plenty of us who love the city and will have more room. From Allison Kirk. Thank you, Allison. Look, I'm 50-50 on that. I miss the old days. I understand progress. But also understand there's not a plan in place to stop the to help out with the transit. And so it's going to get massively worse before it gets anything better.
Okay, I'm going to read this and then say something. And I hope Jared's listening right now. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, I'm done with Jared Stillman saying, I have this nugget, but I can't tell it. Ian, can I tell it? No? Okay, I'm just telling you. It's great. I hear that and it makes me laugh. Jared, if you're listening, there's, and I've thought about like just texting him this, but I'm going to just say it. when you're referencing the other shows, say the show name. He, like, I'm done with him. He'll always call it Robbie and Joe. It's Robbie and Rex Road. Or he'll call it Chase and Joe. It's Chase and Big Joe. It bugs the crap out of me. I don't know if that's the program director or if it's just I'm just weird like that. But, like, call it the show name. So there you go, Jared. We love you.
Matthew Nashville, I'm done with the NFL refusal to implement a sky judge that can overrule the refs where they throw a call roughing the pass on someone like TJ Watt just for breathing on a quarterback. You got a lot of validity on that one, man. There's a lot that goes in with that. Let me see if I can read one more here. Wife counseling her plan. God, they're flying in left and right here. Let's see here. Doing Mike Vrabel. A lot of done with Mike Vrabel. I'm 1-4-2-3. All right, this is I'm done with these chemtrail conspiracy theorists taking the space coke from the snortellians.
What?
1-4-2-3. Yeah, okay. My head hurts after reading that, so thank you for that.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll tell you more about the Jason Foundation. If you're not familiar with it, it's a great cause, and we'll be joined by longtime Tennessee head football coach and athletic director Philip Fulmer and Chuck McDowell. Tell you more about that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.